Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Ramble. I'm Jack Donnelly and joining me today is Struan Garvey and Jamie McIntosh. We were due to have Taylor with us today, but he never picked up my phone call, so it's his loss. To be fair, there's a small chance that he ends up just joining the call halfway through because I sent him the invite link, so we could have a surprise appearance from Taylor at some point in the recording, but we'll just need to wait and see. If you're just listening to us for the first time, we're doing this for every set of fixtures in the Premier League for this season and seasons coming. So to make sure you don't miss another episode, follow us at the top of the Spotify feed. Follow us on Twitter, also at Fantasy Ramble. We'll be getting all of our predictions for every one of the fixtures for each game week, regardless of whether we cover them on the show or not. If you want to join the Fantasy League, I know there's only five game weeks left, but there's still time to get in amongst the competition with the code X1LJML on the official Premier League website. And be sure to head over to Energy Sport to read our Premier League takeaways article for each game week. We are gathering our football writers' opinions and putting them out in a collaborative article. And the majority of our writers, not Struan, because he was busy writing a bigger article, had a wee input for this week, so be sure to go and give that a read. How have we been, boys? How have we been? We've been enjoying the football, enjoyed this weekend.
I've been enjoying the football, but the fantasy hasn't been kind to me these past couple of weeks, to be honest.
Now, you and I have had took a bit of a dip the last couple of weeks, haven't we?
We've done a bit of a Leicester, haven't we? We've been looking solid all throughout the season, and then we've just, after the lockdown, we've just kind of slumped.
Slumped slightly. It's the opposite for yourself, Jamie. You're making a challenge.
Yeah, you've opened the door a wee bit. still 50 points or something, I think the gap is, but the door is slightly open, so if I can continue to make some inroads, then if I could get third place, I would be absolutely buzzing, because I've literally been fourth the whole season. Since the first game week, I feel I've been fourth. So if I could finish third, then... No, it's not really. You're right. Used to have swapped places a wee bit, but Graham's been top. And Taylor and Raph and Josh obviously have been down the bottom three. I've been fourth, and then Graham's been miles in front in the lead. So if I could manage to finish second or third, that would just be an absolute steal. Daylight robbery.
I feel like I'm actually going to clarify something here. We've mentioned Josh on a number of podcasts beforehand, but no one's going to know who he is.
No.
Josh, for those that aren't aware, is another one of our friends who, he's not been on the show before, but he did join the Fantasy League. He has not changed his team at all, I don't think. His starting lineup for that last week that gained him 37 points, Jordan Pickford, which is questionable in itself, Sead Kolasinac, Luka Digne, Virgil van Dijk, and Jamal Lascelles. Isn't an awful back four, but I mean, could be a lot better. It's Wilf Zaha, Ryan Fraser, and N'Golo Kante in the midfield. So he's realistically getting points from nowhere, considering how poor Zaha's been. Then he's put all his money into his strikers, which are Aubameyang, Kane, and Lacazette.
Both Arsenal strikers.
He's
an Arsenal fan, which explains why he's got Fabianski, Walcott, and Wilshere on his bench. with as many Arsenal and former Arsenal players as possible. So, because he's just neglected to change his team since week one, he is about 250 points behind Taylor, who's in sixth.
That's pretty impressive.
Taylor's got 78 points this week.
But to be fair, yeah, Taylor's been flying the last couple of weeks, to his credit.
A PK blinder. He absolutely did. Captain Fernandez, who got him 30 points, that was a...
As did I.
Played Greenwood.
Yeah, he brought Greenwood in.
I might have to do that.
I think he's about 4.something million.
Considering sacrificing more points to get Greenwood in for Martinelli.
I think that's worth it.
But then I'd be dropping 8 for this week. I've already had to.
I mean, I'm not going to catch that anyway.
Fair enough. We'll get cracking with the first of the three bigger games that we're going to be covering today, which is coming tonight in the day of recording, and it is Arsenal versus Leicester. Looking at their last games, Arsenal recorded a decent 2-0 win over Wolves, where Leicester really bounced back to proper form in a 3-0 victory over Palace that saw Jamie Vardy become the 29th Premier League player to score 100 goals in the top division. I think Leicester probably had the more impactful week coming into this one, but we're going to talk about Arsenal first since they are the home team. And in their performance against Wolves, we really saw a huge performance from Bukayo Saka, who recently committed his long-term future to the club as well. Get his first Premier League goal, and I think he named it as the dream week or something like that for him personally. Struan, looking at Saka and the likes of Martinelli, Joe Willock, Reece Nelson, even Kieran Tierney to an extent, how impressed have you been with Arsenal's young core since the restart came about?
Yeah, I've been really impressed. I think for Arsenal, they've been the ones stepping up this season as opposed to more of the senior players, minus Aubameyang. And I've gone and brought Saka into my team this week because he basically seems to be picking up a goal or an assist, and he's basically playing anywhere on the pitch at the moment. But yeah, I've been really impressed. There's a lot of good players who have really stepped up to the plate this season on the field. There we go. But I think it's been a real turnaround. Minus some youngsters like Guendouzi, though.
He might come into question when he's calling out Neil Mopai for making less money than him. I mean, that just kind of sums up his contribution to the Arsenal's restart. No, I completely agree. I think the youngsters have really been a massive turn for Arsenal this season. And for me, I'm not certain they would have gotten a chance under Emery. I mean, he was kind of keeping his faith in Guendouzi and Xhaka when they weren't really picking up, but now that Arteta's come in and has really been experimenting a lot, like he's been chopping and changing the starting lineup, and someone that Graham's been a big fan of in recent weeks, Eddie Nketiah, he's come in, he's been able to make a difference since coming back from Leeds, it was, in January. We'll look over at Leicester just now because they were back to form, as we mentioned, and I think Jamie Vardy's goals coming back have come at the exact right time, but that's just me talking because I wrote about Vardy and his goals for the takeaway for this week. Jamie, looking at Leicester's run-in, they've got the Arsenal game tonight, they play Bournemouth on Saturday, then they've got Sheffield United, Tottenham and Man United to close out the season. Just how important was it for Leicester to get that win there so that they can go into their final five with a bit of form and a bit of confidence behind them?
Yeah, you know, it's massive. Look, I mean, we've been saying for a while that Leicester needed something because we spoke about last week on the show how tough their running was, and we said that they had to find something to take into those games to try and build on. And obviously Vardy getting a brace is a bonus, but ultimately the 3 points was the main thing. But obviously you need your star player for the big games, and fortunately for Leicester, you know, they got a big 3 points and their striker got a big 2 goals.
Just looking for both of these teams here. Both are now chasing European places. Depending on how this one goes tonight, Leicester could either cement their position in third a bit further, or depending on how other results go, they could drop to fourth. And if United win, that would draw them level on points, albeit Leicester would still be ahead on goal difference. Arsenal, on the other hand, they picked up a win that really had a lot of people talking about an outside chance of European football. I think they currently sit, I want to say,
seventh
in the table, so well within the Europa League places, but people have been talking about an outside chance of Champions League. Struan, how are we viewing both of these teams' chances at European competition? Are Leicester still set on Champions League football? Do Arsenal even have a shout, considering how Chelsea and Manchester United and Wolves have been playing, or could we see Europa League potentially for both?
I think Leicester will stay within the top four. I think they'll be fourth, though. I think Chelsea will definitely overtake Leicester come the end of the season, but I think Leicester will be able to stay in that, because I just think the teams below them, Man United, Wolves, Arsenal and Tottenham, have all shown this season, you know, they can go away and beat one of the biggest teams in the league and beat Man City, Liverpool. I mean, Arsenal could beat Wolves 2-0 and then go and lose to Brighton the next week 2-1 or something like that. So I think inconsistency is what's basically going to decide the end of this table rather than consistency itself. But I've been really impressed with Arsenal ever since the Brighton game, when I saw them coming back, and I just thought, you know, I don't see where this team goes. You know, the David Luiz signing a new contract, but Guendouzi was dropped and they've switched to the 3-4-3, which, as we saw under Conte, is the best of David Luiz. You know, that's how you get the best of him out, and I think he has looked quite good. I think Mustafi's looked good. He gets a lot of criticism as well, and I think all round team is looking very well, good as well. And I think it speaks volumes that Eddie Nketiah is getting picked over Lacazette in the big games.
Yeah.
Lacazette played against Norwich, and Eddie Nketiah gets the start against Wolves. You know, I think that just shows the faith in these youngsters, and you've got Bukayo Saka, who will literally just play anywhere on that pitch. But I was wondering actually where he would play in the 3-4-3 system with Pepe fit, because he's been on the right wing, but then you'd probably assume Aubameyang, sorry, would be on the left, and then I don't really know who you'd play in the striker, because I would say Nketiah, but then that means Saka's dropped, so it'd probably be more Aubameyang in the middle.
Yeah, no, I could see that. I would, in the 3-4-3 system, I would probably play Aubameyang central, but Saka out left, because he's done the job. He's been doing a job at left back when Tierney's been out injured.
Yeah,
but you would assume that in a 3-4-3, either Tierney or say a Kolasinac would take the kind of left wing back, left mid role. So I could definitely see Saka moving over to the left wing rather than trying to kind of factor in Nketiah as well, because I don't think Arteta would be keen to drop either Aubameyang or Saka, considering Saka's recent form and Aubameyang's season-wide form as well, being really the only source of goals for the majority of the year. So I think if they are to go for the 3-4-3, then it would be a front three with Aubameyang central being flanked by Saka and Pepe, which for rival teams, it's a scary strike force to come up against.
Yeah.
We'll start talking about our predictions for this game, because it does have a lot of ramifications for the top half of the table. Personally speaking, it's tough to call, but I still feel like Arsenal might have the edge in this one, which is a rare thing for me to admit and a rare thing for me to back Arsenal in any game that we've mentioned them in. I just think Leicester coming down to London, they've looked inconsistent, and Palace had a very poor day at the office against them in the 3-0. Harvey Barnes was running riot, but I think considering who Arsenal have in their team, I think they'll just have a bit too much for Leicester to deal with. I'm going to go for a 2-1 to Arsenal. I think Saka's going to be involved a bit. I think Aubameyang will probably grab a goal. But yeah, it's hard for me to kind of call that one, but I think the heart of the Chelsea kind of side of things is coming into play a bit there, because I'm hoping that Chelsea beat Palace and then that would take them third. But that's just me dreaming at that point, because we know what Chelsea like to do whenever they get presented with an opportunity for positivity. They just like to neglect it and lose to West Ham. Jamie, how do you see this one going?
I'm going to go with you with a home win as well. I've actually captained Aubameyang this week. He rewarded me with my selection of giving him the armband with his performance against Norwich. That got me a lot of points, and I'm going to trust him to do the same again. I was really impressed with Arsenal against Norwich, albeit it was Norwich, and you thought, well, could they back that up? And then they go to Molineux and get a really good result. So yeah, there's definitely something for Arsenal to build on here. But we know what Arsenal are like, and I said it last week that whenever you back Arsenal or Tottenham for that matter, and they don't produce the required result, you really only have yourself to blame. One thing I just want to quickly mention in this top four battle is goal difference. Leicester's goal difference is plus 32. Mm-hmm. Chelsea's is plus 16. Man United's is plus 23. Arsenal's plus 8. Wolves plus 9. Tottenham plus 8. So, Wolves, Leicester are, a number of points clear at the moment, but they've also got a superior goal difference. Mm-hmm. So, United are 3 points behind them, but effectively it's kind of four, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's a big advantage, I think, that's worth mentioning when we're running out of games, and it's kind of an extra point advantage, if you like, in my eyes anyway, that Leicester have got in third place over the teams behind them.
Well, definitely.
It could make that final day for Man United versus Leicester, that could come down to like some kind of goal difference score, which would be pretty crazy.
Highly likely.
I always feel like we end up coming back to talking about the Southampton 9-0 game about Leicester's goal difference. There was a stat, actually, that I'd seen regarding Southampton, and yes, it's off topic, but in their shock 1-0 victory over Manchester City, Southampton conceded as many shots in that game that they won 1-0 as they did in Leicester beating them 9-0. So it just, I suppose, off topic, a testament to Southampton, how they've transformed their fortunes. But to wrap up with this game, Struan, who are we going to back this one? Have you got anyone that you would definitely give the nod to getting you some much needed fantasy points?
Well, I've still got Jamie Vardy in my team because he kind of helped me last week, and it's just one of them where as soon as I take him out, you know, he's going to score a hat trick. But I've also got Bukayo Saka, just because I think this could be a scoring game, or, you know, I think Bukayo Saka could be in there for an assist or a goal, but I do think it'll be a Leicester victory.
Ooh.
That's probably, Ooh. I'm probably in the minority there, but the reason why I think that is what I was just saying earlier on about the inconsistency. I think, you know, Arsenal have got a good run, and Leicester have been poor when you come back, and then it just kind of makes sense, oh, Arsenal should win this game, but just this season, and, you know, Leicester have got even like 3-4 key players out missing as well, so it's just like, you know, it's everything's going in Arsenal's favour, and then Leicester are just going to win. I think that's just this season summed up, so I've gone for a 2-1 to Leicester.
There we go. It's 2-1s all round, or at least...
Mine's was 3-1.
3-1 you said, sorry, Jamie. Goals expected, so...
Both teams to score, yeah.
Both teams to score, so I wouldn't back any defenders. I think I noticed when I went on to make my transfer that Ben Chilwell's out injured for this one. So if you've got him in your team, I would look to remove him as soon as possible. Also due to the fact that he's been a bit of a rough patch of form and probably wouldn't have kept a clean sheet anyway. Move on to the other end of the table in our second game that we're covering today, as Jamie's favoured Watford take on Norwich, who are currently rock bottom as they have been for many weeks now. In their last games, it was a loss for both teams rather, as Watford lost 3-0 to Chelsea, with Norwich slumping to a 1-0 defeat at Brighton. Struan, I'll come to you again for Norwich here. That 1-0 loss to Brighton, with each game, that one especially, it seemed to spell the end for Norwich. But coming into this one, Jamie pointed it out as a cliche relegation six-pointer. Could a win here spell the beginning of a great escape for Norwich, rather?
I mean, potentially, because it's just one of those where everybody in the relegation zone has been so poor. Even dropping points, it's like, oh, it's fine, they drop points as well, you know, we go again next week. But now we're kind of running out of weeks. And I think this will be a really intense game. I think I quite enjoy watching Norwich sometimes, because they're not like most teams in the relegation zone who, you know, sit back and wait for the counter. You know, they do like to attack quite a fair bit. And, you know, I just think it's just a good football to watch. But I do think Watford could get something here, or I reckon it could be a draw. And I think that's what actually my prediction will be. But I just can't see Norwich staying up. I really, really can't. I think a few of their good players will get handpicked away as well when they get relegated. But I could see them coming back up, just because I think their spend from coming up to the Premier League was less than $1 million on net. It's pretty crazy that they've got virtually the exact same team, and then you compare that to Villa.
Norwich spent nothing. We spoke about it last week, I think, if I remember right. I think it was Jack, you pointed it out, and they said that they'd spent very, very little. Personally, you asked you, and I'm going to answer the same question. I think this is definitely has the potential to be the beginning of the great escape if Norwich can get a win here. And I'm not saying they're going to stay up by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, look, if they win, they go 4 points behind Watford, and then they've got West Ham the week after. So... look, I mean, you know, it's a big if, but obviously, see, you know, Norwich have won 5 games all season. They've won the fewest amount of wins. But if they can win these next two, they could potentially be a point off safety.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there is still a chance for them, because they've got these teams that are around them. Obviously, after that, I think they play Chelsea and Man City or something. And Burnley, I think, is another game.
Chelsea,
Burnley,
City is their final.
Chelsea, Burnley, City. So, you know, look, I mean... I don't expect them to get anything off of Chelsea or City, but I think if they could find a way to get 2 wins against Watford and West Ham, then, you know, they've got as good a chance as anybody. It's a
probably
big if. But
they are Burnley without any motivation as well at the time, given they'll just sort of
mid-table.
Be in the
middle.
You could maybe even say the same about City. They maybe have one eye on the Champions League. They might just throw out a few youngsters, because they've got top four secured basically at this point.
I think this is my game of the week, Watford-Norwich, just for sheer...
sheer unpredictability.
Well, yeah, just how much it matters, yeah. The high stakes, yeah. That's the word I was looking for.
I'm looking as well. I've got a page open with everyone's running. And looking at both Bournemouth and Villa, they have got much harder
tough
than Norwich currently do. Bournemouth, they're playing Tottenham, Leicester and Man City. That's our next three. And then finishing up with Southampton and Everton.
Hmm.
That, for me, is five straight losses.
Yeah, I don't see points coming anywhere there.
And Villa, they've got, albeit a bit better, they've got Liverpool and City as their next two. Oh no, sorry, City, they just played Liverpool, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
They've only got four games left to play. They've got City and Southampton, and then Newcastle and Burnley.
They've got Man United this week as well.
I don't know what
they've got. Nah, they've got five games left.
That's not all. I get rescheduled for the FA Cup. That's why that's not popped up for me there. Sorry. Yeah, they've got United, they've got City, and then next two of them finishing with Southampton, Newcastle, and Burnley. But again, I'm seeing 3 points maximum from those last five. So if Norwich are to do something, it needs to come from this game.
Yeah. And of course.
It'll be interesting, but we'll take a look at Watford rather. We'll take a look at Watford instead, because Jamie, your takeaway this week was that they've really lost their new manager bounce, as you were, with Pearson coming in. But despite that, despite the fact they've not won after lockdown yet, they got a credible point against Leicester, but it's 3 wins on the bounce now. We know what Pearson is like with getting a relegation threatened team out of trouble. So would you still back them to stay up regardless of what the result could be tonight?
You know, we just spoke about the other team's run-ins in the relegation zone, and we've said that we struggle to see them picking up any points. Mm. Watford sit a point above the relegation zone, and, you know, personally, I think if Watford win tonight, I think the bottom three stays the same, because, you know, then it potentially puts 4 points between themselves, Villa and Bournemouth. And if Watford win tonight, Norwich are down. That's it. You know, we say that Norwich have a chance in these next two games. So if it's a draw, it's not really good for anybody, I don't think, to be honest. I don't think that really helps Watford much either. But, you know, if Watford win tonight, then I think the bottom three stays the same. Whereas if Norwich win, then I could see Watford going down. I don't know at whose expense, though. You know, I love Watford. I've backed them all season. Yeah. But if Norwich win tonight, brilliant. Because it just makes the relegation battle more exciting.
It could come down to goal difference, like you were saying as well, at the top of the table. I mean, down at the bottom, Villa and Bournemouth's record this season is the exact same. They've got 7 wins, 6 draws, and 20 losses.
Yeah.
But Bournemouth's goal difference is 1 less on minus 26 to Aston Villa's minus 26. Watford are on minus 23. I mean, Norwich are down on minus 36, so I don't think they're going to be that big. But between those three in 17, 18, and 19, it could literally come down to the goal difference, because they're all so in sync with that, basically. And it's basically just who doesn't get beat by the more goals.
Yeah.
Because if Bournemouth lose 1-0 to Spurs and then Villa lose 4-0 to Man United, like, that's going to be a huge difference maker for what happens, because that would see them swap anyway on goal difference, which... it's mental to think that it really could come down to that, and of course it could really come down to the last day to solidify it, because Villa are taking on West Ham on the last day, which West Ham, they're not out of the woods yet.
Their
form's picked up, you're absolutely correct, but I still think it's going to be a troublesome time for them. The relegation battle is going to be the best part of this season, in my eyes anyway, at least as it comes to a close. We'll get more predictions in for this one. Jamie, Are we attacking this one?
Right, so last week, obviously, I backed Watford to win 3-0 at Stamford Bridge and Troy Deeney to score a hat-trick to help Chelsea.
It did.
It worked. The 3-0 scoreline was right as well.
Didn't help your bank account, because you
actually
put a bet on it.
I stuck a quid on it, 200 to 1 or something. But just because, to be fair, if it'd come in, I never would have forgiven myself. This week... I don't know. I mean, I think it could be some goals in this game. Although, having said that, I brought Ben Foster in, so that questions my judgment in that department as well. I'm going to go with a Watford win. I just think this has got potential to be a cracking game of football. And if Chelsea weren't playing at 6 o'clock, then I would be watching this game.
Yeah.
Let's think. Just because I've got Watford and because I've got Foster in goals, I'll go 2-0 to Watford. I've also got Deeney up front, so I'll go with a Troy Deeney goal as well. 2-0 Watford.
Lovely, lovely. I like that. I like your backing them after.
Yeah.
That. Like, and
yeah.
Sincerely, this week as well. Struan, are you of a similar mind? Are you going to try and back Norwich to start the climb back up the table into safety?
Well, I've gone for the 1-1. If Jamie's not going to call it, I'll do it.
Someone needs to, yeah.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it. I am going to watch this game tonight. I think it could be so interesting. I just think relegation scraps are just some of the most entertaining games you can get. You know, there's always a few tasty challenges and just ridiculous shots that attempt. And maybe a little bit of beef from the managers on the side as well. You just never know. But I'm going to go for a 1-1. I thought Norwich did okay against Brighton as well. I think Brighton have been really good since coming back, beating Arsenal and holding Leicester to a draw.
Mm-hmm. Apart from the United game.
Yeah, that was a bit of a blip in the road. But there was quite a few players rested for that in mind for the Norwich game, which luckily worked out. So I think Norwich did look good. I just, every time they kind of get there, they always just seem to stumble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even in like the FA Cup tie against United in the semi-final. I've watched Watford Norwich quite a lot, actually, now I'm thinking about it. Mm. But you know, they were there, they'd scored the equalisers, all going well, and then the captain, Tim Close, just goes and gets sent off right at the end, and then it's basically backs against the wall. It's like they keep suffering. I mean, they beat City this season as well, which is pretty ridiculous, but then they just keep on, as I said, and I just keep mentioning inconsistency, and I just can't see it. Watford as well, look, I can't decide whether they're... Yes, I'm going for 1-0.
Resign themselves to the fact. I'm currently looking at their squad on FPL. They have 4 defenders. They have a back 4. That's it. Like, they've not got anyone else. Zimmerman's out. Byram's out. Hanley's out. And Heiss is out. They do have 2 fullbacks and 2 centre backs. They've got Aarons and Lewis for the fullbacks, and then Godfrey and Closer for centre backs.
That's all you need.
Closer's get 5 points. 5 points.
Oh my God. It's not looking good. It's not quite Miroslav Klose, is it?
His first game was against Southampton. 3-0 loss.
Oh
boy. No, I think, down to the fact as well, because Todd Cantwell's missing for this game and he's not expected back until the weekend's fixtures. I'm gonna go a 1-0 Watford.
That'll do me.
I know Watford will do.
Who's getting the goal?
Who's getting the goal? Sarr. Sarr's going to get this goal. If he's about. I don't know if he's... He should be fit. I don't think anything's happened. Yeah.
No, he's all right. He's fine.
Aye. I'll back Sarr to live up to his price tag eventually and get another goal to try and repay the Watford faithful. Yeah, so that brings us to the end of that game. The final bigger game that we're going to be talking about... on this episode is, again, it's European connotations with this one, as we've got Sheffield United taking on Wolves. In the last outings, it was a bit of misfortune for both teams. Sheffield United, they actually battled back to draw 1-1 with Burnley with a cracking John Egan finish, whereas Wolves lost 2-0 to Arsenal. And a bit of an odd kind of day for them. They were a bit off it for me in the game against Arsenal, but Jamie, you watched that game. Am I being a bit kind of presumptuous in saying that they were just off, or were Arsenal just better than them on the day?
Probably a bit of both, to be honest. I mean, you know, there was a couple of turning points in the game where you look at kind of Traore's chance that he missed. You know, that was a good chance. I think that was 1-0 at the time. So I think that would have got them back on terms, and I don't know. You could never really tell how it would have gone from there, but... I think this is a really tough game to call. I wouldn't really rush to have a bet on this game personally. I'm going to put it down for a 0-0. I just think it could be a really tight, cagey, scrappy game, and I just don't really see an awful lot of quality coming out of this game. And I just think it'll be really tight and scrappy, so 0-0 for me.
No, it's a decent shot. I mean, they're two teams with a back five and not a lot of, well, I mean, Wolves more so than Sheffield United have a creative outlet in
terms
of Traore and Jota and Jimenez. But, Struan, looking at the end of the season for both these teams, you've kind of cemented your idea for who's finishing in the top four. You've gone Chelsea and Leicester taking third and fourth respectively. I'd imagine you've got United sitting in fifth. Am I right with that one?
Yeah. Hopefully.
how do you see the rest of these two finishing up? Obviously Sheffield United were chasing Champions League at one point, but it's looking less likely after their restart. But would you back them to get Europa League, or do you think they're going to drop a bit too far down the table considering the likes of Arsenal and Spurs are still picking up points from deeper in the table?
I think Sheffield United's a really tough one to call, because when they first came back, I thought, right, they've lost their crowd, you know, they're just not the same team anymore, you know, they look really poor at times. But then I was trying to be a bit fair and think, you know, they did have injuries, you know, the 3-0 loss to Newcastle was a terrible defensive error from Stevens, Henderson should have done better than a red card. They looked good against Arsenal. I thought, again, in a sense, they almost handed them that win. I think they really could have done better. They gave away a cheap penalty and then a huge goalkeeping mistake as well at the end of it. But I think Wolves are just another team, and I keep coming back to inconsistency, who 1 week they look absolutely fantastic, and, you know, they're almost that team nobody talks about. You know, Man United are getting a lot of that, oh, they're going to push Leicester and Chelsea, you know, they're the ones going for the Champions League spot. But until last week, Wolves were level on points. It was just goal difference that was keeping them behind, and they've only had 7 defeats, out of everybody in the top 10 in the league. Actually, to be honest, that's the second least apart from Liverpool. And then Arsenal and Tottenham have both got 8, who are pretty near there. But actually, Tottenham have 11, never mind. But yeah, I think Sheffield will get Europa League with a push, and I think Wolves are basically guaranteed to get Europa League. Mm-hmm. I'd fancy Wolves to win the Europa League, though. If they don't get it in the... Because it's one of those tournaments, and I think it really suits them that all the games are at once, because they have the same sort of team. You know, they'll keep the form going. They won't feel forced to make any changes, or there won't be any other games throughout the weeks in which they might suffer injury, suspensions, whatever have you. So I think I could see Wolves maybe kind of easing up on the league and then look into the Europa League and thinking, you know, we can win this.
We're just going to move away from Wolves again and just touch on Sheffield United briefly. Jamie, a lot of Sheffield United fans will have been celebrating the fact that Jack O'Connell made a return, albeit off the bench, in their 1-0 draw with Burnley. How important was he going to be in their last few games, especially when he seemed like he was such a big mess as soon as they came back?
Yeah, massive. No, you said it yourself. We've touched on Sheffield United's defence, obviously, many times, and we've said that they've not been themselves kind of since the start of lockdown, but hopefully with players like him coming back, they will kind of get back to the kind of solid defence that we saw before lockdown and before his absence. So yeah, he's massive. I think, as I said in my takeaway, I think it was last week or the week before now, I can't remember, I said that, you know, whenever you kind of, you play in a system that has, the players get so used to playing alongside each other that when one of them is missing, there is a kind of big gap and a big change, and sometimes it's quite hard for the rest of the team to adapt to when somebody else comes in. And I also think it's quite hard for the player that comes in to kind of fit into the system when, you know, they've kind of, maybe they've not played for so long, or they've not played alongside this sort of, these players for so long. So getting O'Connell back in and getting kind of back to basics, hopefully, for Sheffield United. And again, another reason why I've put it down for a 0-0 is I just think that both defences will cancel the attacking players out in this one, and I think they'll both draw blanks.
Well, I think your prediction speaks for itself in terms of who you would advise to include in your fancy teams.
Yeah.
Defenders and goalkeepers from either
team. Baldock and Doherty are the two defenders that are in my starting 11 at the moment. Yeah, I think, you know, as I say, goalkeepers. I'm not sure what the fixtures are like after this, but a couple of defenders. And I think Henderson and Patricio are both good goalkeepers as well. So
Sheffield United, they've not got.
You've got Chelsea after this.
Home after this, then Leicester, maybe next week. Rounding out with
Everton. That's tough fixtures.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Just have a quick look at Wolves as well.
Everton after this for Wolves.
I guess with Sheffield, their fixtures came at a really good time. Not like disregarding the teams at the bottom half, but before lockdown, they were on a really good run.
Yeah.
I think that benefited them massively as well.
Wolves are wrapping up. They've got probably an easier run. They've got Everton, Burnley, Crystal Palace, and then Chelsea in the final day. So realistically, they could take something from every single one of those games.
Yeah.
Looking forward, but it'll be what it'll be. I think for this one, I'm going to back a draw, but I think it's going to be a score draw. I'm going to go for a 1-1. The famed 1-1.
I've not even done one yet. Running out of games.
We get three smaller games we'll talk about, so you might be able to sneak one in.
Hopefully.
Depending. Well, that brings us to the end of the bigger games that we're going to be discussing today. You'll be able to find our full in-depth predictions on Twitter shortly after, with predictions from all three of us and our three other co-hosts who could not make it here today. The first of the kind of smaller games we're going to talk about is going to be Crystal Palace Chelsea, a London derby of sorts. The only reason I kind of put this one down was because results elsewhere, as we mentioned, could see Chelsea go into third for the first time in a long time. Obviously, they had that chance when they played West Ham and lost it 3-2. Jamie, you were saying before this, before we started recording today, that you don't think it's going to be a Chelsea win.
No, I don't fancy us tonight. I don't really know why.
You've just got a feeling. There's a feeling.
I've just got a feeling. Look, I mean, it's a really good opportunity for Chelsea. We play before Leicester, and I don't care what players say that, we only focus on ourselves. We're not bothered about other teams' results. We don't look at other results. You know, Leicester will go out at 8:15, and they'll know what the Chelsea score is.
Yeah.
So if Chelsea have the opportunity tonight to go out and put some pressure on Leicester. However, I just don't have any faith that they will put any pressure on Leicester.
So how do you see this one going then?
Well, 1-0.
There we go.
There we go.
TV inset there, that's good.
I think Palace will score first. I think probably Jordan Ayew, I would say. I wouldn't necessarily bring him into my team, but I think that Jordan Ayew could probably get a goal, and I think Chelsea will equalise in the second half and finish strong, but I think it'll be a slow start from Chelsea tonight and we'll be punished. 2 points dropped.
Struan, are you the same ilk, or are you kind of got a bit more faith in Chelsea than Jamie's suggesting?
I have faith in Chelsea. I think this is quite a good fixture almost. As you said, you're playing before Leicester. I think that's absolutely huge in the table, basically, to pat the pressure on. Mm-hmm. Palace, I just don't... You just never know what you're going to get from Palace. You could be, you know, beating teams 1-0 with an incredible defence, or you could be getting 4-0 by Liverpool, 3-0 by Leicester. I think tonight will be a similar situation. I think Palace are what I was speaking about earlier on, but some teams just being in limbo. You know, they're in 14th, they're on 42 points, they're not going to get relegated, but at the same time, they have no real chance of getting European football, even Europa League. So I think it's just sort of, you know, play whoever you want type. I don't think their players will be up for it. I think Chelsea will be really motivated for this one. And I think the penalty streak could continue. I think Chelsea have had a penalty in each of the last three games.
League games anyway, yeah.
I think that Christian Pulisic is just incredible at dribbling in. He just gets taken out quite a lot. So I think it will be a Chelsea win. You never know what you could get from Gary Cahill, though. Has he got a point to prove, you know? You never know.
I'm gonna go a 2-1. I think Chelsea will get the goal early, or at least in the first half, and I could see maybe a quick equaliser in the second half, maybe around 50th minute from Palace, but then Chelsea will battle back, which isn't something that typically happens. But I think because they know what's on the line, they don't want a repeat of what happened at West Ham. I think they'll be more inclined to go for this one, especially when they know that Leicester will see the result before they go out and play.
Mm-hmm.
So this one really is crucial if they are wanting to maintain status in the top four. We'll look ahead, and we've got, well, I think when we talk about Brexit, I don't think two teams personify the adjective, and it is an adjective when you're talking about it in this sense. Two teams don't personify it more than West Ham and Burnley. And here we are. West Ham and Burnley are here. They're playing each other, and it's a game that really only could be described as absolute Brexit football. West Ham, when they're winning this one, Struan, are they safe?
Yes, I do think they will be safer to win this one. I think the other teams around them have been poor. Either Watford or Norwich have to drop points. Bournemouth are going to drop points. Yeah. So I think we'll beat Brighton as well, who are five clear. They play Liverpool, so they're probably going to drop. I'll put West Ham within two of them. So I think this is huge for West Ham, and I think it will get them out of the relegation zone. Well, they're not in the relegation zone, but this will get them clear.
Yeah, this will get them
out of the fight, yeah.
Out of the battle.
Jamie, low-scoring game, this one, I take it then.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, West Ham have scored 40 goals this season, which is, that's more than one a game. Mm. And they've conceded 58, which is closer to two a game. Burnley don't really score that many, but they don't really concede that many either, usually. I completely echo everything that Struan's just said, basically. I'm going to go with a tight West Ham win, to win 2-0, and I'll say 2-0 the Hammers.
Ooh, 2-0 the Hammers. I like that. I'll go for 1-0 myself. I think West Ham, it's a tricky game for both teams, because West Ham, just, you never know what you're going to get, a bit like Palace. They've been a bit more predictably poor, but the form has picked up, as we've mentioned, so I could see them narrowly edging this one against a Burnley defence, which has done really well in being able to just keep as many clean sheets as they have, of course, because Nick Pope's the leading the race for the Golden Glove. So,
is he? Goodness.
Well, I think so.
Yeah, he's still ahead. I think Alisson's catching him, though.
Alisson will catch. Looks like he'll probably catch him, but time will tell. Finally, the last game we're going to discuss on today's show is Villa versus United. Villa, obviously, in a much more precarious position than any team we've talked about, bar Norwich. More of a United focus on this one, I suppose, because I wanted to actually see if I could get some positivity out of Struan with this one, but he sent me his predictions midway through the recording, and I don't think I'm going to get it. They were fantastic against Bournemouth in a 5-2 victory. I mean, when was the last time you could say you enjoyed watching a United performance when there was five goals from United themselves? Struan, how good do you think they could be with their with a game such as this against Villa, and should they win, is top four really, really a much greater possibility?
I know I'm quite a pessimistic fan, and I don't like that about myself. I have to admit, I wish
you
I was
don't say.
I know, but this, like, normally, you look at the form and you think, oh, United have been fantastic. I think one of the biggest things about the Bournemouth game is United went behind and came back and got a win. So often this season, when United have conceded the first goal, the other teams just sat back and they've been unable to break them down. I think Newcastle is possibly the only game in which United have conceded first but gone on to win this season.
Mm-hmm.
At least from memory, anyway. And I just think there was just some signs against that Bournemouth game which you just thought, oh, how are these, like, defensive errors, the same against Tottenham, was just ridiculous. I just think it's one of those games where, even though United are on such good form and the starting 11 is so good, the odd injury, suspension, somebody gets taken out. It's all against Norwich. It's pre-Christmas Man United, It's like, oh, where's the creativity coming from here? And I just think this season, every time you kind of think, oh, yes, I'm going back to inconsistency, every time United look like they're doing really, really well, it'll just something will slip up. Villa could get a goal first, I think Bournemouth played well at times, I think on the commentary they were saying, Bournemouth are scoring two goals against United and they're still getting beat 5-2, and that's why they're going to get relegated.
Yeah.
I think Villa, well, I spoke about them in a takeaway, their defensive record has been pretty poor, so I don't know if they could hold on to a win, especially with the firepower of the likes of Greenwood, Rashford, Martial getting supplied by Pogba and Fernandes. I think on paper it's just one of those where you think, oh, it's an easy Man United win, they're going to coast through, but just this season I just don't think I can 100% back that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone for a 1-1 draw.
I hate to disagree, but I think it's going to be a whitewash, to be honest. I think it's going to be 3-0 or 4-0. Villa have just struggled for goals at the best of times.
Villa have just struggled, full stop. They've struggled in front of goal, and they've conceded the most goals in the league. They've struggled in front of goal, and they've struggled at the other end of the pitch as well.
I know you talk about getting carried and stuff like that, but if Jack Grealish is not in that Aston Villa team, I think they're behind Norwich. I really don't think they have any other kind of player who looks like he could change a game.
Something I want to mention there. Graham Souness is our opinion of Jack Grealish. Are we validating that one at all? Are we in any sort of agreement?
No, what did he say? I only seen Grealish's tweet where he sort of had a go at Souness.
Said he didn't really see the picture clear enough. Almost right. Like he's lacking like being able to create chances and stuff like that. But I just think Grealish is a really, really good player. I think he should be in the England team as well. I think he's almost done everything he can. I think he's being linked quite heavily with a move to Man United. Mm-hmm. And Man City have recently come in after losing Leroy Sané as well. And I mean, you don't get linked with some of the best teams in the country if you're not being creative enough or anything like that. And it's almost like, I look at Declan Rice of West Ham, you know, he's a really good player in that team. But if you put him into a better team, he gets better. It's similar to the Van Dijk situation at Southampton. Nobody would ever have said he's the best centre-back in the league. Put him in the Liverpool team in a good system with good players around him, he instantly becomes better. And I think that's the same with Jack Grealish. I think if he did move to a team in the top half of the table, or even, you know, at the very top, I think he would be, on his form, he could be one of the best players in the league.
I mean, it goes either way, though, because you think of players like Christian Benteke.
Yeah,
doing the exact same, leaving Aston Villa after a really good season, joining Liverpool, and he's just faded into anonymity almost. Like he's a passenger in that Palace team.
It's like sink or swim, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is sink or swim.
When you go into the deep
end of
the pool,
you're either cut out for it or you're not.
Yeah,
I think that's what it comes down to.
If Villa get relegated, you know, do we think Grealish is off? Do we think Grealish will stay if Villa stay up? You know, what do we think about that?
I think he'll be off no matter what. I think he's kind of reached everything he can do. He's gotten them promoted. He's captained the club for a year. But I think it's one of them. He's got to move on in order to advance.
Yeah,
his
for the good of his career. Yeah.
Yeah, he could be winning trophies rather than hopping between the Championship and the Premier League.
I think especially if they stay up, he's gone because he won't want to do another carry job, especially with how poorly they've spent their money.
I was going to say, and that's the thing. Yeah. You can't even say that they've not recruited. You know,
£6 million they spent last summer.
It's been a shambles of a season, we can agree that, for Villa, and I think it's going to be a shambles of a performance. Just to the couple at United will just walk this one, if I'm honest. That brings us to the end of the games we're going to talk about. As always, we're going to round out with our fantasy team of the week with the players from games we've mentioned and games we've not, who are probably going to be the best suited players to get you maximum points. Goalkeepers wise, I've left it open ended in this instance. I've not put any of my own suggestions down, just to kind of keep it a bit fresh, keep the debate a bit lively. You always look at home teams for goalkeepers and defenders, but Jamie mentioned earlier, so Sheffield United and Wolves could be a 0-0. So Henderson, Patricio, Willy Bowley, Connor Cody, Matt Doherty, George Baldock, John Egan, the likes of them would do you a turn if you were wanting to get points, because they'll all be relatively cheap as well, with the exception of Doherty, who's about $6.5 million, I think he is just now.
But as we mentioned last week, the third highest scoring defender. Mm-hmm. Ben Foster's in my goal. As I said, I think Watford will win, and I think they'll win to nil. So Ben Foster is in my goals. I've got a back four of Kyle Walker. I think City, if Walker plays, that is, obviously he was rested against Southampton, so I would like to think he would be back in the starting 11, although you can never really tell with Guardiola. Walker, Alexander-Arnold, I've been really tempted to take him out now.
Have you?
He's so expensive, Jack, that, you know, he hasn't really been doing it for me. He is my only Liverpool player in my team. I haven't spent money on Mane, Salah, and that. You know, I thought yous were a bit fortunate, actually. You both captained Salah, am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I did.
I thought yous were a bit lucky there, because Salah had a bit of a shocker, I thought, and then he got that assist for Curtis Jones at the end.
I have to say.
Well, and I was raging, because obviously, you know, I was gaining, and I thought, oh, you Jammy sods, that's a wee assist there out of nothing. So anyway, Alexander-Arnold, Doherty and Baldock, as I've said, I think that's a low-scoring game, so that's my back four.
Julian, how about you?
I've got Walker and Alexander-Arnold as well. I'm thinking the same about Alexander-Arnold. Liverpool have looked good since coming back, but he's just not really getting any points at the moment. And as Jamie said, he's so expensive. You know, you could get two or three players just as good, which is actually one of my other problems, is that my other defender is Gary Cahill, because my other two are both injured, so that's the back three I have to play. And I fancy Chelsea against Crystal Palace, so I just think that's already points lost. But if I did get rid of Alexander-Arnold, I could have, you know, better fullbacks like Adini or something in there. I would recommend
for my my back three. I'm playing a back three this week. I've got Alexander-Arnold and Baldock as well, but I've also transferred in Wan-Bissaka in place of Chilwell, which I think I was probably gonna do anyway, even if Chilwell wasn't injured, because United, we've spoken about, have a very favourable run going into the last five, whereas Leicester, we've already mentioned how dangerous their run is and how important it is going to be for them to pick up points whenever possible. So I just think it's more likely for United to get clean sheets, especially because they're playing Aston Villa. I think it's just an easy 6 points, really, for Man United and Wan-Bissaka, but that's probably going to come back to bite me.
He's had quite a few assists recently, Wan-Bissaka, actually, as well.
He did. Yeah, there was a clip of him that just...
The lovely back heel.
Yeah. In his defence, so he recovered and got the ball and passed it on. But
you
it was absolutely...
So after that.
Do you know when you just watch a game and you see a moment and you're like, I'm going to see that on Twitter later. I'm
laughing
face emojis. I was like, I know exactly that's coming back.
We'll move up into the midfield because we've kind of covered defence and goalkeeper in one there. Struan, you already mentioned Bukayo Saka. I've done the same and brought him into my team this week for the injured John Fleck. The exact same price at $4.7 million, and Saka is guaranteed game time and he's a lot more direct.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a no-brainer, the fact he's priced as with Todd Cantwell but is more effective in that team, in the sense that Arsenal are going to be able to get forward a lot more.
Yeah, and you know he's definitely going to start for Arsenal
wherever
on the pitch.
Mm-hmm. If Tierney's not playing, he'll play left back. And he won't lose points for not getting a clean sheet.
Yeah.
Say Leicester do score, so.
Or he won't gain points if they do get a clean sheet.
Suppose, but.
But will Arsenal keep a clean sheet against Leicester?
That's what I said, 2-1. I don't think Arsenal keep the clean sheet.
I think I said 3-1, didn't I? So.
Yeah. We've all gone for to score anyway. boys, who, anyone else that we'd want to highlight for this week coming in?
It's got to be Fernandes, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it has to be Fernandes. It's going to be another week that he's going to run the show, and I'm going to regret not having him in my team. I think I might have to get him next week. Take Salah out for him.
Yeah,
he didn't take the penalty though against Bournemouth. That was a bit of points lost.
That annoyed me.
Oh, it made me happy because that meant Rashford actually did something for me.
Is he in your team?
He's in my team.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it was one of them. Rashford needed the goal since coming back, so Fernandes just let him have it. And I don't think Fernandes is the type of guy to really be aggressive and demand to take the penalty. Yeah.
I was going to say, to be fair, that's another thing. We can all speak about Fernandes' quality, but he seems like a proper team player.
Yeah.
You know, there was one where I think I highlighted it last week. He was subbed against Brighton, and De Gea made a really good save or something, and you know, the camera panned to him, and he was celebrating the save like a goal. You know, he just seems such a good guy.
He gave a really good post-match interview against Brighton, because all the attention's been on him and Pogba since he's came back, and he said, you know, we've also got Fred McTominay who've been playing really well as well. You know, it's about the team. It's not just Paul.
I'm a fan of that, to be fair.
And I do like that. And he was the captain of Sporting Lisbon. I think that was one of the reasons he was brought in. He's quite a leader. And you can see from day one, you know, he's screaming demands. He's telling people to make runs and stuff like that. And you think, this guy's just come from... You know, totally different country, he's brand new into the team, you know, you'd think he'd maybe stay quiet. He's probably made more demands to the team than De Gea ever has over the last 10 years.
That's quite refreshing to see, actually, though, because you don't often get that with kind of like attacking midfielders. A lot of them kind of tend to be like, you know, prima donnas or whatever, and they sort of do their own thing, and you know, but he's just seems brilliant. So he's in my team, De Bruyne and Adama Traore. John Fleck is on the bench, however, and you are really tempting me to take a 4-point hit and bring in Saka.
I would. I've got Salah, who I'm going to captain again, I think. I've got De Bruyne and Mahrez, and I've gone for Mason Mount. I think he's been really good since coming back. And as I said, I fancy Chelsea to win here. And with Kovacic and Kante, I think, are both out. I think he has to start in the midfield or up front regardless. So I think... And then I've got five across the midfield. The other one, Saka, who, regardless of where it is, he will play and hopefully get some sort of goal involvement or clean sheet points. But he's midfield.
He gets one. I think a midfielder gets 1 point for a clean sheet, which is interesting. Especially when, I don't know, I feel like they can make improvements on that. Like, if you're a defensive midfielder, like, you get points for clean sheets, but then it's harder to distinguish depending on who's
playing. Yeah, I suppose it gets a bit more complicated, doesn't it?
Yeah, because you've got no real reason to pick like a Kante or a Matic, who are two of the best holding midfielders in the league, because they won't get points.
I've seen other fancy games, like fancy Premier League games online, that do enforce it, that do have, I think they call it a Kante rule. Because after the Leicester title-winning season, how effective Kante was, they started adding in points for tackles, blocks, interceptions, all stuff like that. So it might having players like Kante or Matic or McTominay, someone like that, more like worth it, rather than just trying to fill your midfield with attackers who are going to get goals and assists. It's interesting. Could anyone from FPL listening just take that on board for next season?
Hintity, hint, hint.
We don't know when next season is. Get working on it now, so we're done by that point. I've got Salah, De Bruyne, Traore, Saka, and then John McGinn, because I wasn't wanting to take another 4 points off to take him out for someone else. Because I could take him out and then have like 8.2 million in my bank to put someone else in, like Willian or Pulisic or someone like that, for example. But then there would be 8 points down coming into this game.
I'm not giving JB 8 points. Is McGinn going to really give you anything, though? McGinn's going to give you, a point maybe, if you're lucky? Oh. Two? And, you say to yourself, if you bring in somebody like, I don't know, maybe not Willian, but somebody who's maybe got a whole, you said this Miley Sarr might score, is it, does that not sort of pay for itself, the 8 points, if you don't expect that, I certainly don't expect McGinn to get any points against United. He's on my bench anyway, but
who knows? I might tinker around with my team a little bit more. I was already mentioning trying to take out Martinelli, who's injured for the rest of the season, and replacing him with Greenwood, who I would say is a very good shout to put in your team for the Villa game anyway.
Yeah.
So I might sacrifice another 4 points somewhere in my team. just the glee of my two co-hosts today. Speaking of strikers, I've mentioned Greenwood there as an option. Who else would we suggest, lads?
I've kept Vardy in, and I've got I can't decide who to play between Abraham or Nketiah. I'm struggling a lot because I do think Nketiah is going to start, but I think if Abraham starts, he'd probably be more effective.
Get a nice goal against Palace in the reverse fixture at Stamford Bridge, I remember rightly. Beating off side trap and just a low finish down to Guaita's left into the bottom right corner.
I think he'd enjoy running at the likes of Cahill and Ward or Saka, who are not exactly the quickest.
He's not done a lot of running, Sacco, to be honest. He's bulked up over the lockdown period, and he's kind of focused on his hold-up play more than anything else, which for a player like Abraham, I think is a step in the wrong direction for how he wants to kind of get things going, because obviously
he's coming a bit like Giroud.
He's a big guy, he's 6'5", but I never really got him for his aerial presence. I got him for
Abraham's 6'5".
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
You don't know that?
No.
Like, oh, he's massive. He's a big
doesn't
guy.
Sound like I know it, do it?
See with the problems at Chelsea defence, is it worth sticking him at centre back? When a few headers, it can't be that much worse in the air than the others.
Can you imagine him and Zuma at centre back together? They can both drive at a defence like that. That would be incredible. Jamie, who have you got leading your line now?
Well, my captain is Aubameyang this week. As I said earlier, I think Arsenal-Leicester should have a few goals in it, and I would like to think that Aubameyang could hopefully get a goal or an assist, or both, hopefully. So he's got the armband again. I've also got Deeney in. I do think Watford will get a big win, and hopefully I would like to see him play some sort of part in the two goals that I've given them to get, or predicted them to get tonight. I've also got Jimenez in, but to be honest with you, if my bench was a little stronger, I might have taken him out, because as I said earlier, I just don't see any goals in that game, or not many goals anyway. So I do have Jimenez and Traore for that matter, but I'm not expecting an awful lot from them.
There we go, and that wraps up that section of the show, and that wraps up the show itself. So a big thank you to everyone that's tuned in to episode number 9 of the Fantasy Ramble. We do hope you have enjoyed it. As we said, we'll have all our predictions from all of our hosts up on Twitter later on. Follow us at the top of the Spotify feed to make sure you never miss an episode, and make sure to keep an eye out for any and all takeaway articles from any of the boys on Energy Sport. A big thank you to Struan and Jamie for joining me today. My name's been Jack Donnelly. This has been the Fantasy Ramble. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time.